Now to growing concerns about the deadly coronavirus officially hitting the U.S.
The coronavirus emergency.
It's a tremendous health threat.
4,000 people are in quarantine.
Are being asked to self-quarantine.
Mandatory quarantine.
Y'all up there in them big cities running around in them little crowded apartments. Everybody's under quarantine. I've taken social distancing to a new level. They said, what'd you do? I did what I always do. Get up in the morning, get me a shot of coffee, stay in the woods.
Well, I've chosen to be about halfway quarantined, 3/4 of the way quarantined, 90% quarantined on my own. Next few weeks, we'll just give you a glimpse of what being under quarantine, pulling back, pull away from the fast lane.
We're running out of toilet paper. It's already kind of like on a roll for me. How much do you need? The finer things of life could disappear like that. What do you do then? Starve to death? Not this bunch.
Want to see roughly what time it is?
Pretty good way to tell time and see what direction you're having all at the same time.
It's about peace of mind, tranquility. Long way from the coronavirus. Wisdom, discernment.
You'd have a mess unless you have gray beards. If you got a gray beard, you like stay ahead of it, prepare.
We make the most of it. Complete peace of mind living within that. I'll show you how to do it. You can take it or leave it. Your call.
I am unashamed. What about you?
So ready. Here we are again. In the
panic and fear that was formerly known as America.
That's right. I mean, it just seems almost surreal, quarantine. You said it earlier, Dad, that you've never seen anything like this in your life, which I haven't either. I kind of compared it at first to 9/11, but then I got thinking back, that was just like 2 days. Remember? I mean, like once we got past the second day, I realized when they weren't going to just keep attacking. Then it kind of got
I don't
normal.
Know what microbe came along in 1918. I've already forgotten which one.
Spanish
it was.
Flu.
Were you alive then?
Was that what it was?
Spanish flu.
No. Oh. No. That's when I was Paul kidding, was born. Phil. My dad was born about 1918.
That was an old joke.
I was born in 46, Jace.
He missed it.
But there was something, but I haven't heard the reports on how the people behaved. But I've never seen people.
But they didn't have the media.
With this much fear.
You got to remember the media. The
that's
media.
A great point.
It's what I shared last time when I went to the airport. I was actually shocked that there were people there. But there were. It looked normal to me, although people were distancing themselves. And so then it hit me. I thought, I think the media may be overplaying the panic factor because I had seen a scene of an airport and there was nobody in there. Well, if you go there at 3 o'clock in the morning and film a show, of course there's no money in there.
Right.
You know, and then they attached that. I mean, the panic and fear is real. We've been to the grocery stores and you see people. But like we said last time, we're going to try to bring comfort to those with faith because we know ultimately there's no disease out there that has control over us.
Well, and
most of the population, probably in America, probably worldwide, their fear, it's not a fear of God. It's fear of death.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And the ones that don't have God, you watch them and it's just a mass, bedlam and people are running in every direction. You know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
But they don't fear God. I'm fearing God, and I wised up and said, well, is there a way out of here? And God said, yeah. I'm like, well, what is it? So
yeah.
He said, I sent my son to die for you, be buried and raised from the dead. It gives new meaning watching all this fear I'm looking at in America and worldwide. That's given new meaning to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm like, you know, we tell people, look, you know, you sin, you spiritually die, and then physical death comes along and you're done forever, wiped off the earth. So
that's a great simple way to put it, Dad. The fear of God takes away the fear of death.
That is right.
I mean, there's no doubt.
That is
right. Or at least lessens it to a great degree.
Yeah, when you're thinking spiritually minded, you study, because I'm a big sports fan, and sports as we know it has stopped.
I took a little stroll over to ESPN. I was curious because I've
been Ghost Town.
I was like, what are they going to show? I mean, there's 8 channels.
Just think about it. You say, I know that human beings are innately fearful, because if the most oft-quoted thing Jesus said is, don't be afraid.
That's right.
Well, that tells you right there that he knows the human race is very afraid.
Yeah.
From whatever you want to come up with, you say, but we are a fearful bunch.
Yeah. Well, remember my little saying that I came up with, because I always found it almost contradictory that the number one phrase in the Bible is do not be afraid, and like number 4 is fear God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I came up with this idea just based on study that, you know, you fear God because you know he knows you. He knows what you're really like. Yeah. And so that should cause you some fear, you know. But then you say, well, you don't fear God, don't be afraid, because you know him. You know how he is. You know you can trust him. You can rely on his promises. He's going to take care of you, you know. So
yeah, but they're going to say, but Jace, you don't understand. I'm not going to fear something that I can't see. I'm not going to fear. Y'all have got this thing dreamed up in your mind about this invisible God, you know, who is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Y'all have got it in your mind, but I can't see him, and he's never spoken to me, so why would you fear that? I'm like, well, do you believe in the microbe and the results you see from the microbe?
You don't see
Can
the microbe?
Can you see the microbe? No, I don't see the microbe. I said, well, it's killing people on your right
hand. There's a lot of fear.
I said, why are you afraid? You can't see that either.
That's right.
That made me think of that Hebrews 11. You're talking about a good verse, a good bumper sticker verse. Talking about Moses in Hebrews 11, in verse 27, it said, by faith he left Egypt. Oh, I didn't even realize it had this saying. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered. Now listen to this, because he saw him who is invisible.
Yeah.
He saw him who is invisible.
He got a glimpse somehow.
Burning bush.
Well, how do you see something that's invisible?
Burning bush.
That's why I said it's a bumper sticker moment.
That's a good one.
But
and in the same story, which is ironic, is that we saw pestilence with the plagues that was the way for God to try to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. So it does really tie into the idea. I mean, there was fear rampant, but not enough fear. You know, Pharaoh had feared God about, you know, maybe number 3 on the 10 plagues, he would have saved a lot of his people a lot of misery.
God, you know, can be seen through his people and their behavior. You can spot him. I was pretty interested in the book of John. We've been there. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, who's at the Father's side, has made him known.
Yeah.
So these eons, I don't know what part of God Moses saw there. I'm not sure, but he saw
I think
him
he meant
who
the
is
bush.
Invisible. He might have probably been seeing what you're talking about.
Phil,
visual.
I think it was the sign.
I don't think it's any different when I'm worshiping God that I'm seeing what is invisible. You know, when I'm singing, I do this in my speeches. I'll ask people, I'll say, close your eyes and picture God. You know, what I'll do it like kind of like this. I'll say, close your eyes and picture a banana or picture. I'll you know, ducks. I usually stay, you know, big buck deer. So everybody's pitching. I'm kind of tricking them. But then I say, and now picture God. Well, you know what the number one response to what people see is?
Oh, man.
Nothing. They're, because I'll ask them. I was like, how many of you saw nothing? And look, more than half raised their hand. Because, and I'm like, well, no wonder you're having a struggle in life putting your faith and trust in God. Because when you close your eyes, your mind went blank. You know, they were, and some of them, so then you go down to what they see, and some of them still saw the buck deer. They thought I was trying to make like, oh, you see a deer, you see God. But I was like, no, there should be some, you would hope, my point is that you would see not the details of the of a Jewish man, but a form of a Jewish man on a cross. I mean, to respond to your verse, Jesus is the image of the invisible God.
Yep.
So I've been to Israel. I saw what they look like. I mean, I can picture an Israelite man, a carpenter, going around in the image of God, doing everything good and holy, making good decisions, you know, showing his love. I can picture that.
Casting out demons.
Yeah. All those situations. And so then when I'm worshiping, singing, praying, meditating, reading, that's why it helped me so much to go to Israel, because then I'm looking around at where he went, and I can now picture him at the Sea of Galilee, and when he was on the creek bank as a dead man eating with his disciples.
Opelousas catfish.
Yeah, Opelousas catfish, because I saw him. We're eating at the restaurant on the Sea of Galilee, and some little kids were throwing off crackers and popcorn. Well, here comes these hundreds of Opelousas cat. And I thought, yep. ding, ding, ding. I got it. He's right over there. A dead man. I'm here. Where he was. I can see that. Now, is it through faith? Yes. But I get it. I'm visualizing that. And I think if we all bought into that, especially when we are worshiping together. Well, you're talking about have some good worship.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that your tale of Israel, you had a lot of good stuff there, but that was the one that struck me the most, because in my mind's eye, I always saw it as just like some of these sardine looking fish, you know, that you see like in the Mediterranean Sea or something that I don't care much for. But when you saw Opelousas cat, I was like, well, no wonder everybody's so excited about a big fish fry.
We call the Opelousas the king of fine eating.
He's fantastic.
He's the king of catfish.
And they don't eat them over there. They're not kosher.
Really? That's right.
Yeah. Boy, are they ever.
I asked our guide, I said, but could I? He said, oh, yeah.
Which explains why there's so many and they're just coming up. We don't see ops like that here, where they're just coming up to the surface like a mud cat.
Look, I got something I want to share with you. I know we're taking questions today, but I was looking just like y'all, because people are asking me everywhere I go, you know, what do you think? What about the virus? What about if people are over panicking? And we've stated our position. We're going along with what the government has said, because we are protecting the most vulnerable in the country. And I think it's worth doing things that are uncomfortable and, what do they call it,
self-quarantine.
Quarantine.
Social distancing.
You know, that's social distancing.
Dad, you were doing social distance before social distance was cool.
By the way, before you get you on yours, Jace,
First John 4:12,
watch. No one has ever seen God, but watch, you can see the results of him. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You say, you can see him. It just depends on what you're looking at.
Right.
If you see hatred and vitriol and cursing and drunkenness, you say, he's not there.
That's a good thought.
But you see God and you see people loving one another, you say, how they do that.
Right. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and he's an invisible God, and yet you're looking
faith
at
him. I mean,
what's helped me through the years is, you know, part of doing Duck Dynasty, the one thing I didn't expect, because it gave us all a platform, and we've used it to share Jesus, because we believe when Jesus said, "Who do people say I am?" Well, we believe he's the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, mm-hmm. and he's our ticket to living forever and forgiveness. And well, that's what we do. But part of the benefits from doing the show was a lot of sick kids and a lot of sick people in cancer wards and whatever. They would watch our show because it was a healthy distraction for them. I mean, spiritually, as far as their spiritual health, because it was a distraction from their problems and their pain. And so they would watch our show, and we've all been in hospital rooms, and we've gathered around kids that unfortunately are really sick with things a lot worse than the coronavirus. Exactly. I mean, they're giving them,
you bet,
time to live, which is not very long. You know, Willie and I, we met with a little kid, you know, one night, and he literally died within an hour after we met. I mean, it was devastating for us just to see that. And we were like, "Do you need some help?" And he's like, "I mean, I'm dying here. So this is what I want." I mean, it was a very powerful moment. But the reason I'm bringing that up is at no time have I ever been in those situations, which is, I would say, been in the hundreds. Was I worried about my own well-being and whatever disease they had? In that moment, I'm like, you know what? This is a, God has presented this situation to me. Now, I can be scared for what, if what they have is contagious or, yeah. But that never crossed my mind. And I never really thought about it till now, which everybody is promoting this social distancing. But I'm thought, I'm in this situation. This means a lot to this kid. I'm going to try to give him some comfort. He's safe. He's going to heaven. There's not a doubt in my mind. And most, you know, of everyone we've seen in those situations, they're acting like warriors.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to bring that up because I thought, you know, when you care about people, you're going to do whatever you can to help them no matter what the situation is. And which is why I told last podcast of me coming out of my germaphobe tendencies. It took a situation like this for me to get past that because I thought, you know what? If I get it, I get it. But I just felt like the people needed a distraction. They needed a healthy, heartfelt, hope-filled distraction. So some, I thought, that's what I'm doing.
Some go early, some go late.
That's right.
But we all go.
We all go at some point. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this. So most people think with home security, there's basically two ways of you go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way, you bring somebody in, technician, you got all this installation. The other way,
I thought you were going to say guns and dogs.
Well, that's what I was going to add. I would say a third with the three of us, because guns and dogs are a big part of our protection. But for most people that live in subdivisions and neighborhoods, you need something to protect your house, you know, to be able, when you're not there.
What do you recommend?
Here's what I recommend. The guys at Simply Safe, where you can basically put in all your stuff yourself, your cameras, everything. Basically, it takes you an hour at the most to be able to give your home a great security system. So,
video.
That's right. You got to have video nowadays. That's how you see what's going on.
Embarrassment, Phil, the biggest deterrent.
That's right.
Embarrassment, and they'll know you who did it, and you're done.
And you're going to wind up on social media somewhere.
It'll go viral.
Exactly.
They'll arrest you. You'll spend the rest of your life in prison.
So check it out, simplysafe.com/unashamed. You get free shipping. You get a 60-day risk-free trial, which is great. So you get 2 months to check it out, see if you like it. simplysafe.com/unashamed. Check it out today. So a few podcasts ago, we talked about I think we've already been talking about today. We talked about by looking at Jesus Christ, you're looking at the Father. And so, therefore, God in flesh is huge. I mean, it's huge to our faith. And so we were talking about it in the context of some people we know that are converting, a lot of people coming out of Islam because of persecution and, you know, refugees and things like that. But I think in this current climate that we're talking about, I mean, we're going to have a lot of opportunities just because people, you know, everything they thought was secure and solid, all of a sudden isn't. You know, when you can't go to things, you lose, you know, just entertainment and all that, which we were talking earlier, and you guys wouldn't know about this, but like So I read a lot of our entertainment, I'd say for probably, it's been a long time, but especially the last 20 years, 15 or so years, entertainment, and I put this in quotes, is people that people like are these dystopia movies and series where it's end of the world and there's a big apocalyptic event that happens. There's zombies. And, you know, we've talked about some of that in the past. But and I've even read several novel series that are just like this. There's a pandemic and then all of a sudden we lose everything. And then it's like a fight for the survival and the people. So that's people. I think part of the fear that's driving that is because a lot of people have been entertained by that. But then they're also thinking, is this it?
Well, right. And it's, you know, is this Hollywood movie
when
living
it becomes
out,
reality? Right. When it becomes reality.
So I think that has driven the fear, though, because everybody's been waiting for the day when it all falls apart and zombies are roaming the earth, you know, and then, you know, we're fighting for scraps of food. So I think that may be feeding into it. I mean, I don't know. It's just a theory. But I do know that those movies, TV shows, and books are very popular with people probably in the age range that you're looking at.
But you think, well, what is fear? I mean, how would you define fear? I mean, I think people would like a definition, but I mean, what would you say it is?
Extreme anxiousness.
Yeah, anxiousness. I don't know.
Dread, that you dread something.
A dread, that's a good one.
I'm saying this, yeah, you look it up while I'm telling this. Right. Like our Nicaraguan daughter, who's in college in Minnesota, they, you know, when we called her, it was like, okay, what are they doing? She's like, well, they're taking a couple weeks off from school. And so Missy's like, well, okay, great. You know, we'll fly you down. And she was like, oh, I was so fearful that I was going to have to stay here by myself. And Missy's like, what are you talking about? You're our family, even though we didn't conceive you. We're not going to leave you by yourself. But well, that was fear number one. But then she was hesitating, and Missy's like, well, are you fearful right now? And she kind of started crying. She was like, yes. And she's like, well, what are you scared of? She said, well, I don't want to get the virus, you know, on the plane coming down here, because she said, I've seen on the media, on the news, that all the airports are shut down and there's waiting. And Missy's like, no, that's only people coming in from other countries. She's like, Jace just flew back from Michigan. There was nothing. She was like, oh, so it's not, I don't have to, you know, wait in line and do a health test. And she's like, no, you're in America. You're here.
But she's Nicaraguan, so you can understand.
Well,
she
just
spent her whole
life
waiting in line.
Fearful. And she's like, oh, okay. And she's like, well, are there any other fears you have? And she's like, no, that's it. But she was just gripped with, okay, number one, I'm trapped here. Number two, if I leave, then I'll get the virus. So, but, you know, I told Missy, I was like, she's 19.
She's young.
She doesn't.
And she spent her whole life hunkering down because the reason she had to leave Nicaragua, I mean, she got pushed out because of civil unrest. And, I mean, you know, we're talking about there's countries that live. You talk about coronavirus. There's people that live like this 24/7. And we talked about underground church, you know.
Well, I thought y'all would say, which because.
Here, let me read
all right,
this.
Go ahead.
So here's what the online dictionary says: fear, the noun, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat.
Well, that goes in with what I'm going to say then, because what I was going to say is I think what causes all this is the unknown. And that's why some people even fear God, because it's unknown to us. That's why we have a relationship.
You can't smell it. You can't see it. No. You can't hear it. All you see is the results.
I mean, they say that about the stock market. They say, you know what causes the stock market to plunge? Uncertainty.
Panic.
It's the fear of not knowing what's going to happen. And I thought of a couple of examples of that since we're talking about the deity of Jesus and who he is. You know, in Matthew 14, when you had the walking on the water situation, you know, his disciples are in a boat. They look up. well, just put your, we're commercial fishermen. You know, here we are out on the lake, and you look up and you see a person walking on the water. Well, you say, well, what happened? When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. You say, why? Because something unknown has happened. Because you didn't know that a human being could do this. And it says, it's a ghost. Now, I don't know where they got that from. It's kind of like what you said about the media. They had ghost stories.
That's the opposite of, he's not like us, a regular person.
Well, right, because they had probably had ghost stories. Like, that was, yeah, they didn't have TV, but they had ghost stories. We probably had ghost stories. And I mean, you thought, well, what is a ghost?
After the resurrection, they were still on the ghost thing.
Well, that's what I was getting to.
Thinking they saw a ghost.
Well, I'm getting to that.
Oh, but I didn't know I was ahead of you.
That was going to be my second point. But
calm down, Jason.
That's out there.
It says, it's a ghost, they said, look, and cried out in fear. So what does that mean?
Kind of like that.
Well, Jesus.
Kind of like your fans in the airport.
Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, which I guess would be the opposite of fear.
Yeah.
Is you have an unknown, unexperienced moment here.
Never seen it before.
Never seen this before. So you're going to have some courage because it is I. Now, that statement is what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. When Jesus said, it is I, that was a mouthful.
In our vernacular, he's saying, calm down.
When you say, what are the qualities of Jesus that differentiate him from us that make him the Son of God? Well, he's all powerful,
yeah,
all knowing, omnipresent, which is he has the ability to be in multiple places at one time.
Everywhere at one time.
All what? I mean, give me some other qualities.
Oh, we got a bunch of them I want to talk about. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and unpack a little bit of that. So it's obvious we are unashamed, right? That's the name of our podcast. We share the gospel. And here's the other thing. We like to support companies that share our faith. I mean, there's no doubt about it. As much as possible, I like to do that. Patriot Mobile is one of those. They share our faith, and they're unashamed to talk about it. So I like these guys for that reason. It's the only cell phone company not donating a portion of your bill to organizations that basically go against the values that we believe in. And we're talking about pro-life, we're talking about Second Amendment, a lot of things that matter to us. So basically, you start at $25. Patriot Mobile comes with unlimited talk, text, same reliable nationwide service, no hidden fees. You can switch over, you can keep your same number. Good deal. Check it out. PatriotMobile.com/Phil. You get free activation. You get a special gift. We don't know what it is, but it's special. Get a special gift when you use Phil as your offer code. You can always call them as well, 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, or go to patriotmobile.com/Phil and support these guys. Check it out. Yeah, so, Jace, you're talking about, so the word omnipotent, you know, you hear this word a lot, omnipotent, that just means all powerful. That means there's no lacking of power. So Jesus, in a human body, was all powerful, which is why you can walk on water.
Control of the atoms is exactly the way I always
you said. What does that do? He could take a molecule that's causing a disease or a germ, and he could also take some dust and say, here's life. You know, when you read that verse, God breathed. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, when your breath causes life,
yeah.
Well, you're all powerful. You know, you take on the other side, since we're in the coronavirus era, and I'm always noticing products that they're selling, you know, like toilet paper, because that people are finding some hope in that. Well, I got more toilet paper than you.
Yeah,
right. Well done, sir.
Hand sanitizer. Yeah,
but I thought, you know, the other day when I was at the event in Michigan, I took a breath mint, and before I put it in my mouth, I looked on it, and it said, Lifesaver. So I see why somebody bought this, including me, because you're like, this is not just going to give you, you know,
a
fresh breath. This will save your life. And I must have this, and I need it now.
And I need a 5-gallon bucket full.
Yes. They sell it in big bags because in the back of your mind, that's what people are doing. They want your money, and they're like, let's don't sell a breath mint. That's breath mint. What is that? We're going to sell a lifesaver.
But I've talked to some people with such bad breath, it was a lifesaver.
Well, it was because...
Halitosis is nothing to joke about, Jay.
We're playing the game. I mean, that's all we're doing is playing the game. That's why when a panic happens, what's everybody do? Right. They run to the grocery store because in a marketing world, I've got to have all this stuff because of that. It's they put the names that do not fit. Even like, I mean, I'm overstating my case, but that is true. Have you ever thought about why they call breath mints lifesavers?
Yeah.
Because they want you to buy it. This will perhaps get you a date and save your life. Because if you don't have it, you're out. You will be dead within a month.
Life over.
But look, even very liberal anti-Jesus, they have products like that. I've Googled it, and it's hilarious. You know how we have perishable goods? Well, I Googled imperishable goods.
Which is another component of the deity of Jesus, by the way.
Yeah.
Imperishable.
And you know what? I thought I would find nothing.
Yeah.
And guess what? Oh, no. They had top 10 imperishable items. I was like, well, this ought to be fun. Well, I went down. There was a truck from Toyota. You know, it costs – all this stuff was – way overpriced. And it's like the only, if you want an indestructible vehicle, buy this. Well, you know, it's a lie. Yeah. I'll tear it up. I got some redneck friends.
I was going to say, I know two guys that can tear it.
I owned one. It was the sorriest piece of junk I ever owned.
Well, there you go. We lost them as a sponsor.
Yeah, right now there. They're no longer a sponsor of the show.
Look, I remember they had a house that some guy who had a lot of money in Florida. His house got devastated by a hurricane, which causes fear and panic.
Sure.
So he said, okay. Well, he built an imperishable, indestructible house, millions of dollars. And they had a picture of it. It looked like kind of like an igloo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but only thing standing, too.
Oh, yeah. But I thought, but even that, you know, I mean, the guy died because he fell off a ladder who built the house. So there you go. I made that up, but I'm just saying, you see where I'm going with it. So back to my story. Here's Jesus.
That was a sad story. Just make up the end.
Well, I meant, do you think that's going to protect him, really?
That's not. That's right.
While you're there, for you've been born again, not of perishable
Thank
seed.
You. There you go.
That's what you have when you came from your mama.
That's right.
Thank
perishable
you.
Seed. Certain amount of time, you're going to die. Not you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. So you say, imperishable seed. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It's an implant, spiritual implant, the Holy Spirit, when you come to
a
Jesus.
A deposit.
You're like, man.
A deposit guaranteeing your inheritance.
Yep.
Which is eternal.
It's a seal.
It's a seal.
It's a mark.
Yep.
So look at this.
It's a guarantee.
Matthew 14:27, he says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I'm the Son of God. I have the power over storms, waves. That's what he's indirectly saying.
That's right.
All power. I love this response by Peter. Lord. So I get it.
Yep.
You're Lord.
You're Lord. I'm not.
Here's the problem. If it is you. He shouldn't have said if.
No. You don't follow up Lord with if.
That's, Lord if. Doesn't work.
Never works.
That's what they say about but. You know, when you say but, well, whatever you just said, I'm now rendering that worthless.
That's right.
Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He's like, well, come on.
Because it's me.
Yeah, come on. Which I like how we put the Lord to the test, and then when he says, yeah, go ahead, and then you, I wasn't ready for that. I didn't think he would, because I thought I'd have to be you to do that. And he's like, no, come on, you can do it.
I'll fix you so you can walk on water. And he said,
that's
really?
It. So Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But he saw the wind. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. I mean, this thing went off the rails, you know, and that's why I said about fear is more about unknown, because here they were seized with fear first because they didn't know that a human being could walk on the water. And now you know that this guy's not a typical human being because that we know this guy and he did walk on the water. He has the power to help me do it. But then he gets up and the very things that he could see was causing fear. Now, the simple things, the wind, the water, the wave, you know, and we're back terrified again. It's manifesting itself in different ways.
But it's also, you think about it, Jay, it's also shows you the power that faith has because Jesus didn't have a power outage for Peter to start sinking. It was the lack of faith that caused him to sink.
Which is what he said. He said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" But here's what, most people stop the story there, but I love how this goes on. It says, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down because he's omnipotent. He can control the molecular structure, not only of the human body, but of the planet itself. And when they climb in the boat, the wind dies down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him. I mean, they had a... You know, we tend to think of worship. Oh, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, get the singing.
They had a little middle of the boat session.
This was, oh no, we can't help but offer, sing, pray, shout, whatever they did.
It would have gotten my attention.
And you know what they did, which is what I say our worship should be. It should be a focus on Jesus because they said they worshiped him saying, truly, you are the Son of God. That's why I love worship songs that are focused on Jesus and who he is and the deity, because that's what we do.
And they should be. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
No, I love it, Jace, that worship ties in to this idea about faith. Because the problem is a lot of people are like, well, I'll believe as long as everything's great. And I'm not experiencing so therefore, like the power of Jesus is in me only because of the good things I'm experiencing. But it's the moments of fear that you have to, that's when you have to cry out the most.
And that's why we read all the things Paul was going through. And I feel like in Christianity sometimes people are like, they come to Jesus and then they're like a beggar with a can out. Like, where's my blessings?
I'm following you, but yeah, fill my cup, you know.
And they're not doing anything. They're not. They're just sitting there on a street corner,
right,
of life, saying, "Well, you're not filling up my cup." I mean, and so that's the opposite of true Christianity. I mean, when you live a life in Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. The evil one's going to attack you. You find all these people who were afflicted. I mean, look at Job and other.
I was just thinking of Job because you remember when he lost everything, and it all happened in the same day. Like, bam, 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 bam. A messenger comes up. Somebody stole all your stuff. Next guy comes up. This happened. Next guy comes up. All your kids are dead.
I mean, all bad news.
Bad, bad, bad. I mean, it was coronavirus on steroids. And you know what the Bible says he did? He fell down. He tore his robe, which was kind of the Jewish way of saying, oh, I'm cursed, and he fell down, and he worshiped God, and he praised him. He said, naked I came. You know, I didn't have anything when I came here. I'll have nothing when I leave. You're still God. I mean, think about that. That was worship.
And his woman was a great help. Just renounce him and die.
Yeah. We always give her a hard time. She did lose all her kids, but you're right. She wasn't a support system. She said, I wish you'd just go away because obviously I don't want to be married to you anymore.
Yep. I always think of that. I think she came out on the back porch, hands on the hip. Just like,
that's right.
Go ahead and die.
Just go ahead.
Just renounce him and die.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's not really the good support system you want from your spouse in the worst day of
that
your life.
That was early. That was premarital counseling.
That's right.
Faith comes from hearing. You can't see him. He's invisible. You can't smell him. But you can hear him because he wrote you letters.
That's right.
He said, what do you want to do? Write you a letter? He said, that's what he did.
I did it.
He wrote you the letters.
It's a love letter.
Why don't you just at least read what he has to say?
Yeah.
And then you may see him when you'll see a lot more clearly.
Right.
My point. Why did they deduct that he was a ghost, which is something that's technically invisible and impossible for the average human to believe? But how come you accepted that?
Same way now.
Because they were like, that
seemed more
real.
That seemed more real.
It seemed more believable and a Hollywood movie, you know, they had a movie called Ghost, I think.
It was. Patrick Swayze.
And people,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, and people believe that more and think it's more feasible than a creator of the planet becoming a human and dying for the sins of the world.
Yeah, you could talk through Whoopi Goldberg, but you couldn't believe in the Almighty.
That maybe through weird. Something like the coronavirus, boys. Maybe God in his wisdom, he can see into the future the ones who love him and the ones who don't, the ones who have given their life to him and the ones who haven't. I mean, think about it. This thing tends to be really ripping people. You know, Iran, communist China, the Italians, you say, So, you know, I think of molesting the young boys when leadership of God's people are molesting children. You're like, y'all better be very careful how you live over there because God's not going to take that lightly.
Al had an interesting point.
My point is maybe it's these things point people to show them when you get right down to it without God, without hope, without healing, I mean nothing, without peace. Yeah. He is our peace. Without any of that, and they're just out there drifting around, maybe from time to time he says, hey,
Let me
get you back to reality here. You're a measly human being. You got a certain amount of days on earth. Right. You better pay attention to what I'm telling you. I can get you out of here alive, but you keep cursing me.
No. Well, I think there's a lot of
positives. I wouldn't rule that
there's
out.
There's a lot of positives that have happened. One is this going to these virtual services. It gets living like Jesus as a disciple out of the church building.
Yeah.
I think that's a positive.
That's a great positive.
I was telling you that when you did seemed like a positive.
The coronavirus, and I've been hollering about it for about a decade or two or three decades, it's bringing that Romans chapter 12 to life.
Yeah,
on that you should worship God all the time,
24/7.
Yeah, and, exactly. You know,
and how we live, because that's that smaller setting.
But you made a point about protecting the vulnerable, which I thought was a bold point to do. But since Phil brought that up, you said, you know, at our church, anybody can be forgiven. We share Jesus. We've been to prisons. We've shared Jesus with everybody. And we're like, here, God's grace is offered to you and people are saved. But you said they had a rule, which I didn't know that, but it's a good rule, that at our church, that anybody with any kind of sexual,
if you had a
predator history,
any sex offense, if you've ever been, you know, arrested for a sex offense,
you can never work with kids at our church for any reason ever.
Correct.
And so people combat that or argue and say, well, what do you mean they're not forgiven or they're not saved? Or you know how people
you're
are.
Not trusting God. What they'll say is, because I've had them tell me, because look, I've sat down with people that I know have been convicted and said, look, We love you here. You're forgiven. grace abounds to you. We want you to be a part of our church, but here's what you can't do.
Yeah.
And so I've literally sat down in the room and had the conversation.
Because you're always going to protect
the vulnerable.
The vulnerable. And there's one, we're not going to even allow this to have one time of a lapse or put you in that situation. That's what you got to do. And that's the same thing that's happened. That we're, the way I kind of look at it with the coronavirus is that we're trying to keep as many people that are vulnerable protected.
Well, which is why we're doing it. Let's do one last break, and then we'll wrap this up.
It is worthy of note, Jace, based on what you just said, that the struggle that the Catholic Church has been struggling with about all this child molestation on these kids from leadership of their particular bishops, elders, are molesting these children. If they took your advice on what you just said,
they should.
That's what needs to be done. First of all, they shouldn't deny marriage. If they want to marry, they ought to let them marry.
You're right.
It's like my assistant said, I'm changing the subject a little bit, but when we were in Michigan, she was like, I'm a little fearful because her mom is 94. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I don't want to get the virus and bring it back to her. And I was like, well, she's 94. Inevitability. And she's like, yeah, but I just don't want to be the one.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I can see that. We're just trying to give them more time.
Is what I told you. I said, which was why I was supportive, kind of the idea of protecting the vulnerable, because we have some older members that I love to death. And yes, they're all going to, I mean, they're close to the end. They know that. We know that. But I'm the same way. I'm like, but if we just say no, we're meeting because we trust in God, and if somebody gets it, they get it. But I named a sister, and we were talking about it earlier. I was like, if I thought we met and she got it, I would feel bad because it was up to me and some others about making a decision not to do it. But ultimately, you're right. I mean, we're not going to be here forever.
That's why, look, we pray for God's healing when people get sick. I mean, James says that anyone sick, you know, pray. The prayer of a righteous man, you know, effective. But we also, I compare it to what we read with Peter trying to walk on the water and all that. You know, some people that we love, I mean, they'll get the coronavirus and they may die. And you say, well, why did that happen? Why did God allow that to happen? That's why we get people focused on Jesus, who is the deity.
By the way,
of God. Because look, no matter what happens, when you're looking at the waves and all, that may be your diagnosis.
That's right.
And all of a sudden you start fearing a lot. Well, wait a minute, this is not supposed to happen. Ultimately, we're all perishable. That's why the panic happened. All this did was remind everyone that at some point you're going to get sick or you're going to get hurt. And ultimately what? You're going to die.
By the way, I would like to know when all the smoke clears and the virus finally goes away, I want to see one little block over there because everybody's always, yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to see the block, the count of how many faithful followers of Jesus Christ who have the Holy Spirit that's been given to them. I want to know how many of that group died from the coronavirus. I want to know.
My point is it wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter, but I just want to know those figures. Just so I can look down. They're children of the resurrection, so they have no problem. I want to know how many it killed of the sons and daughters of God. I'd like to see that figure.
I wonder if we could ever know that. I don't know how you'd ever.
I'm basing that on my reading of Psalm 91.
Right.
I'd just like to know how many of the sons and daughters God took with this coronavirus.
It would be interesting.
Wouldn't you like to know that figure, Jace?
It would be interesting.
It wouldn't matter to me.
Yep. It would with me.
I know, it just wouldn't matter.
Yeah,
I'm being honest, you know.
Well, so somebody, one of our listeners could figure out how we get that information. We'll get it to Dad, but don't worry about giving it to Jace.
Run a check on that. Forget Jace. Just I want to see it.
It wouldn't matter. I think
it would matter to me.
People who have the Spirit of God are going to die from diseases. So that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, how you respond while you're being diagnosed and going through that, that's the difference.
So anyway, obviously, this whole idea is driving a lot of what our content we're talking about on the podcast because everybody's talking about it. So we want you guys thinking biblically, and that's why we're teaching what we're teaching and talking about what we're talking about, because we want you to be different when other people are falling apart. We want to be people who are not anxious about anything, which is what we said last time. So we appreciate you guys checking us out. Continue to do that. Check out Unashamed with Phil Robertson.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.